Hello, friends. My name is Nesta, and welcome back to Unfiltered Noggin. Today, we're talking about a huge case that took place in Mexico that involves a 4-year-old child named Paulette Guevara Ferra. Paulette was reported missing from her home on March 22nd, 2010, and her family basically asked the media for help using advertisements and other social media networks. And yeah, so let's get into the case. Paulette Guevara Ferra was born on July 20th, 2005 to her parents, Mauricio Guevara and Lizette Farra. They married 4 years earlier in 2001. Lizette was born into a wealthy household. She went to the best institutions in Mexico and later became a very successful lawyer. Her husband, Mauricio Guevara, on the other hand, he was a self-made businessman who worked in real estate with his brother. The couple finally had their first daughter named Lizette with an S. And I'll be referring to her in the story as either Lizette or the older daughter, just to not confuse you with the mother, because her name's also Lizette with a Z. And basically, 3 years later, they had their second daughter, Paulette. However, the pregnancy was not as easy as their first child. Paulette, you see, was born prematurely at only 25 weeks. She weighed 800 grams and was 35 centimeters. Doctors didn't believe she'd make it since she was so tiny, but she did. And ever since she was born, Paulette has been subjected to limits. Doctors told Lizette and Mauricio that their daughter will suffer from developmental disabilities, walking and linguistic issues, and that she would need assistance all the time. But besides that, she was doing amazing in her therapy sessions and even at school. She was still struggling to articulate whole words as she took tiny steps to speak in her own manner, such as learning mom, dad, and water, like simple words she knew, but like the longer words and sentences, it was kind of a struggle for her. She went to a normal school, not some school for rich kids, you know, since the parents were rich. But at that school, she received one-on-one extra special assistance on a daily basis. You know why? But not only was she receiving help at school and therapy lessons, but also at home. You see, Lizette and Mauricio were living comfortably. They were living this luxury, flashy lifestyle. The mother came from money, while the father, you know, he self-made businessman. And they were just one rich, wealthy family. Good for them. Good for their success. However, they needed someone to look after Paulette because they couldn't. They were busy people. Yeah, they're there. They're taking care of their daughter most of the time, but they needed someone to actually watch them. And what's better than hiring a nanny? So they hired two nannies named Erica and Martha Casimiro to take care of Paulette. Before the death of Paulette, Paulette and her 7-year-old sister and their father, Mauricio, had just come home from a weekend vacation to Val de Bravo, which was like 3 to 4 hours away from where they lived. Lizette, their mother, did not accompany them since she had gone on her own holiday to Los Cabos with a buddy named Amanda De La Rosa. And this turned out to be a lie. She did go to Los Cabos for an affair, not with Amanda, though. She just said that to cover it up. They all arrived back at their luxury apartment on Sunday, March 21st, 2010, around the same time. Later that day, Lizette put both of her daughters to bed at 9 p.m. She kissed them goodnight, and she went to bed herself. The next morning, Nannies, Erica, and Martha wake up Lizette, Paulette's older sister, and gets her ready for school. And so they left the home and waited at the bus stop until the bus arrived around approximately 7 a.m. And around 8 a.m., they returned to their residence. One of the nannies, Erica, went to Paulette's room to wake her up for kindergarten, but Paulette was nowhere to be found. As a result, the nannies began a desperate search for her, looking beneath the bed, in the parents' room, in the closet, the stairwell, and throughout the remainder of the high-rise apartment. But little Paulette was nowhere to be found. It's like she vanished in literally 1 hour. I know a lot, 1 hour is like a lot of time, but like, she was just in her room. Like, where did she go? And plus, I don't know if one of the nannies stayed back with her or if both of the nannies actually went to the bus stop with the older daughter. I'm not sure, but they came back and she was nowhere to be found. And so they called the parents. So they called the parents and they don't care. They're literally careless. They don't care about what happened to their daughter. They sounded uninterested. And so the nannies closed the phone and they continued their search for Paulette. When they still couldn't find her, they contacted the police. When the police and the forensic team arrived, they did their own investigation search and they discovered nothing, just like the nannies. There were no indication of a struggle, and most importantly, no signs of Paulette. With little clues to go on, the parents turned to the media for assistance. Paulette's mother, Lizette, did countless of interviews, and in one interview she said, and I quote, "She is an angel. She is a beautiful little girl. She never cries, never throws a tantrum. She's just the sweetest." And her father, on the other hand, said, and I quote, "I just want my daughter to return home safe." There were billboards featuring Paulette's face on them, as well as brochures, publications, and bridge posters. And this sparked some debate because parts of Mexico, I'm not going to say the whole country is dangerous because that's not true, but parts of Mexico is dangerous. And unfortunately, with a corrupt government, it has become the norm for children to go missing on a daily basis with minimal media coverage. And the reason why people were mad was because this family was rich. They had the money. They had connections. Like, they could literally get more attention on their daughter's case than maybe another person who doesn't have that, like, that wealth. And so people were mad, but not everybody was mad. Some people were willing to help, and even though they tried to help, some locals tried to help, they still couldn't find Paulette. Even the Attorney General of the state, Alberto Busbus, was on this investigation. That's how big it was at the time. Initially, Mexican officials suspected that they were dealing with a situation where Paulette had been kidnapped and held hostage for money. But strangely, there was no ransom call. There was no evidence. Where was the ransom call if this was the actual situation? And so police were like, wait a second, this might not be a ransom call. We might be dealing with something else bigger. And so this is when a huge 9-day search for Paulette started. On March 27, many news crews were let into the luxury apartment to interview Lizette, sitting on her daughter's bed while recalling what exactly happened that night, 9 p.m., when she put her daughter to bed. She said she put her daughter to bed, kissed them goodnight before she left the room. That night, she didn't hear any weird noises. She didn't hear anybody come in the house because the dogs would have barked and they didn't. And she said everything seemed normal. until the morning when the nannies called them frantically and said Paulette is missing. And the weird thing about this was when Lizette was sitting on her daughter's bed, on March 31st, Paulette's body was found wedged in the corner of the bed. She was wrapped in her sheets while stuck between the mattress and the footboard of the bed, the same room where various experts, search and rescue dogs, police, 20 plus investigators were in. They searched it from top to bottom and they found nothing. And what's even more stomach churning was the fact that Lizette's friend, Amanda, as I mentioned in the beginning, when she lied about her trip, Amanda De La Rosa, she was a family friend. She was at the residence at the time, and she even slept in Paulette's bed while Paulette was missing. Why do you have someone else? It's not even someone else, it's a family friend, but it's not even your blood, sleeping in your daughter's bed while she's missing. During her stay, the bed would be made on a daily basis by the nannies, and still nobody managed to see Paulette's little body. If you watch the video, the discovery video in the description of this episode, you'll see there's this big bloody stains on the sheet. And somehow when the nannies were changing them, they still didn't see it. Like, they were very big stains too. Like, there were not no small little drops of blood. It was huge. Weird. And you're probably thinking, well, what about the body odor? What about the smell of Paulette's dead body? Didn't anybody smell it? Well, no. And there's a reason behind that. The explanation behind the lack of odor during her decomposition was that the blankets that were covering her body had somehow concealed the smell for 9 days. How is that possible? While waiting for the results of the autopsy, the police assumed that this was a homicide case they're dealing with. The police also noted that the parents' stories kept changing and that they weren't even adding up. On March 30th, Paulette's parents spent hours and hours and hours at the Mexican police station before they were transferred to a hotel to stay put so that not only can they not talk to anybody else, but to make sure they don't interfere with the investigation in any way possible. But things started to take a turn, a downfall for the parents. Lizette and Mauricio started accusing one another on the death of their daughter. You heard that right. They really started to turn on each other. And Mauricio refused to defend his wife's innocence. When he was asked about why he's not defending her, he said, and I quote, "I can only speak for myself, and I am only certain of my own innocence. I can't say for her, though." He also said, and I quote, "The only thing I can say is that for me, this was not an accident." In a different interview, Paulette's mother was crying her eyes out, saying she's innocent and that she doesn't know what her husband's talking about and why he's so suspicious of her. One of the nannies, Erica Casimiro, later testified about the parents' odd behavior that morning when they told them that their daughter disappeared. She goes on to say, "After looking everywhere for Paulette, I found her mother sitting there drinking coffee and smoking a cigarette, all while the father was calmly looking into the closet for the girl." According to prosecutors, there was a recording between Paulette and her mother, Lizette. Paulette's mother, Lizette, and her older daughter, her first child, Lizette. And so the mother was telling her older daughter, Lizette, that don't talk to the police, because I don't want this backfiring on our family, and just don't talk to the police, which can mean two things. Either she's telling her, for your own safety, just don't talk. We'll do the talking, you don't talk. Or Lizette and Mauricio is, they're withholding information about their daughter's weird death and disappearance. When the autopsy results came back, the police's theories were disproved. It was not a homicide, and it was not the parents' fault. It said that Paulette had, by her own means, rolled over while sleeping and accidentally had fallen into the gap of her bed's mattress and the footboard, where she then became entrapped and wounded by suffocating to death. The cause of this death was asphyxiation that obstructed the respiratory airways and compressed the abdominal thorax. You see, Paulette, over her mouth. Every night there was no problem. But this, the day that the police, that morning, the police found her dead body on March 31st at 2 a.m. when the autopsies, whatever, when it came back, it was said that she suffocated to death because of that cloth. And so on April 6th, Paulette's body was buried at the Pension Francis in Mexico City. Final thoughts. What I found crazy about this whole case, it's just so odd. It doesn't make any sense at all. But what I find crazy is that Lizette, the mother, said, if my daughter died, she did die, I don't really care about it because I have another daughter. What? She also stated that before Paulette's body was found, she said, oh, maybe the aliens took her. Maybe a UFO just took her into... just took her. Maybe an alien took her. And then she laughed it off. Like, that's not funny at all. No parent in their right mind would think that way about their child. Nor will they make jokes about their missing child. Which makes me think, maybe the parents killed the daughter because they were tired of paying for these nannies. And it was a huge financial burden on them. And they didn't want to deal with it anymore, which is a possible theory, but since this autopsy says otherwise, it's clearly not a homicide because the autopsy says it's not. It was an accidental death. But do you guys think the parents did it, and do you think the case should be reopened? And also, why would the parents, Lizette, why would she let her own friend, Amanda De La Rosa, sleep in her daughter's bed while her daughter's missing? Like, I know you're probably thinking, well, it's not that deep, but it is deep because despite the fact that she's your friend, like, why... I wouldn't even let anybody, if that was my daughter and she was found there, I wouldn't even let nobody enter the room. Right? Like, it's just stomach churning to me that she was sleeping on the bed of their missing daughter who was found beneath the mattress, between the mattress and the footboard 9 days later, and that she, I don't know, it's just mind-boggling to me, and weird, and odd. This whole case is odd. It doesn't make sense. It feels like there's a missing piece. Like, but why were the parents even acting like that when the nannies told them that their daughter was missing? Like, it's like they knew where she was. It's like they knew what happened to her. but they were like showing no emotion. That's what the officers said. They said Lizette specifically, she was showing no emotion through the whole like investigation. Like she literally did not have one emotion on her face, despite the fact that she was crying in one of her interviews. I don't know. It's crazy to me. Let me know what you guys think. And yeah, this is the case of Paulette Guevara Farah, 4-year-old daughter, child in Mexico City who disappeared and her body was found 9 days later. Let me know what you guys think about this case, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.